And we are live. Welcome to the Afrobus with me, Hope Hajir. I'm so glad that you are able to tune into this episode. It's a very special episode on here on the Afrobus. This is the season finale of season one. It's been such a roller coaster. Many, many, many ups and a few downs. And all in all, I'm just so happy that we can be able to do this. I'm so happy that I've been able to, you know, reach the podcast this far. If you do hear some noises outside my window, it's because I'm in Indiana and these motorcycles, these guys with the big choppers, those bikes, yeah, they're really doing rounds town today. And so I'm so happy about the topic as well. In terms of everything that's been going on, I sent out a message on the Afroverse Show's Instagram page where I post all these prompts and I also post content that I make in terms of being an African or someone in the diaspora. And I also react to videos on there. You should 100% follow the Afroverse Show on Instagram. And I also sent out this prompt on my Instagram and basically on social media, I asked, what are some of the myths you guys have heard about relationships or that you guys think personally it's just a myth, it's a whole scam about relationships and that you just want your money back, or rather you want your heart back, or you want your heart back, in a proper Kenyan fashion. So I sent out, you know, this prompt and you guys were angry. You guys were livid. You had things to say. And so it's very interesting, though, to think about what might be a myth to someone and not a myth to someone else. And I'll just start this by saying different strokes for different folks. That's what she said. That's what he said. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'm not going to do that today. Today, I'm serious. Today, we are very serious. No jokes. I'm going to try and not be as not serious. I'm very serious. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, a lot of people were very, very, I found it very interesting to hear what the men had to say specifically. And so what happens on the Afroverse is I send out a prompt where people respond to like a certain question I have by sending their responses in the form of voice notes, videos or word messages. And it's always so interesting to just hear what you guys have to say, and especially putting a voice to the message, of putting like an image to the message. It's always just so refreshing. And of course, for those watching, you can find us on YouTube, or you can also find short snippets on the Instagram page at Afroverse Show. So let's dive into it. I'm going to play a few voice messages that some people sent in, and then I'll basically give my opinion on it. A lot of the guys specifically, hey, men, you guys had things to say. You really came through and you were not joking. It's completely anonymous, so I'm not going to mention any names, but let's hear what the first person had to say.
Hello, how you doing? I think one of I guess the myth about relationship is that, you know, a lot of people that single expect, you know, them to be happy after being in a relationship. You know, they expect their happiness to come out of a relationship. And don't get me wrong, you have to be happy in a relationship, but I think you need to know what makes you happy first, and you know what you really want before being in a relationship. Otherwise, the relationship cannot give you what you don't know what you want, you know? Anyways. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be happy in a relationship, but I'm saying that you should know what makes you happy first, and then, you know, find a relationship that will, I guess, support those things that make you happy, not the other way around.
Okay. So I think a lot of this is just about how people really, 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 I think a lot of people derive their sense of validation or their sense of fulfillment from relationships. And it's true. I think it's such a trap. Because you go through all these things trying to make someone to make you happy, and you have these needs that you know, you kind of put out like a laundry list, like I need this, I need this, I need that, that, that. And as an individual, it makes me so Like, imagine asking your friends to do that for you, or even your parents. Like, they brought you to this world, but they cannot offer every single emotional need of yours. And so needing that from your partner, especially as it pertains to the reason for your happiness, man, that is, if you've ever tried it, I think you will know it's ghetto. Me, I've tried it. Me, I don't know about you. Me, I've tried it. I remember being like, this is what I like. This is what I need. And if my partner even had a bad day, shame. I'd find myself having the worst, now even worse than them. And I'm like, okay, maybe I needed to tone it down in the past. And in realizing that, I noticed just how my happiness was pegged not only on someone fulfilling my emotional needs or any other needs. I realized that my happiness was also pegged on their happiness. And so, yeah, I don't know. There was something here about single people being happy. Let me just hear that one more time.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I think one of, the myths about relationship is that, you know, a lot of people that single expect, you know, them to be happy after being in a relationship. You know, they expect their happiness to come out of a relationship. And
I think that's the thing I was talking about, like how a lot of people enter relationships thinking, aha, now we have arrived. This is now enjoyment, premium access to just fulfillment. And yeah, I think some people might feel like it's a scam, and then some people might now choose to never ever want to that like long-term companionship because they just feel like it's a scam. You're not getting what you actually went in for. But the problem is you went in for the wrong thing. You went in for something that you can technically never get back from someone. And so you go in thinking, oh, this relationship thing is not for me, or this specific person is not for me. And then, But anyway, we are all clowns. We are clowning. This is now how we end up clowning. Let's listen to what the next person had to say. Again, a lot of the voice responses were from men, so it's going to be really interesting to hear the take that some of you guys have.
I hope. The only myth that I've seen is that apparently the guy should like the lady more for the relationship to work. Well, this might be the case in the beginning when the guy is still pursuing, but I think there's a point that we'll get that... You kind of have to, it has to be like in an equal way. Because if one person is more invested than the other, then definitely it won't work. And I feel that this will affect how ladies feel about approaching a guy. It won't always be, you know, that they feel free to do that. And I'd like to know what the lady's position is in terms of this, because if it's always the guy liking the lady more, then the ladies will not be open to approaching the guy. And I'd like to know, how do ladies feel about this? Okay, thank you.
Hi, gentlemen, I am ladies. Wow. Is this a thing you've heard before? That it's a thing for the man to like the woman more? I've never heard that before, and it's a first, but I do see where he's coming from in terms of how the man is supposed to be the one pursuing the woman. I mean, traditionally speaking, or even stereotypically speaking. Wow. So you've been living your life thinking you have to katia and just, you know, really hit on this woman and show liking more than she... I don't agree with that. Never have, never will. I think you should show your emotions according to how you feel them, number one. And number two, everyone has their own ways of expressing themselves. And so if one is more, let's say, vocally expressive than the other, I don't think it should be tethered to someone's gender or gender role. I don't agree with this. I completely disagree. But I want to hear what you have to say. If you can be able to reach out to me through the Afroverse show, what I do is once I upload this on YouTube and on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc. I usually stay in the comment section for about 30 minutes to an hour after the video uploading. And on the Instagram page, I just want to hear what you guys have to say. And I usually respond back. And so I personally would disagree with this one, but only in the sense that I don't know where he's coming from, but because what if Actually, I would say it's the opposite, even because some guys are seen to be more quiet, and then women are seen to be more vocal, more, I don't want to say more expressive, they're more vocally expressive, more affectionate, and like with PDA or things like that. And so I think in terms of initiative, maybe I see how the guy is expected to have a bit more initiative. But in terms of the woman, no. And I also think in terms of our listeners who are not necessarily in heterosexual relationships, it's already like, who should like the other more? You see, this doesn't apply for heteronormative relationships. So for me, that's evidence as to why it's not a thing, or why it shouldn't be a thing, rather. And in terms of people who are both like man and woman, either, I don't know. Because I would say I've had situations where the woman is supposed to essentially be more expressive than the guy. And then I've had situations where the man is supposed to have more initiative than the woman. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Tell me in the comments down below, or send me a message down at Afroverse Show on Instagram if you're listening to this. I don't know. Tell me what you think. I don't know. Hey, that's quite something, huh? Yeah, it's quite something. But anyway, a lot of people actually sent in this response. I'm going to go over some of the responses I got in terms of word messages, and I'll read them out to you. But a lot of guys had that sentiment. A lot of men felt like it's their responsibility or their obligation to show the emotion, to show the interest, and it's their obligation to show that they're the ones who are falling. But in my opinion and in my experience, me and I'm falling, I don't even know how to now start calculating. No. And I think a lot of mind games are not healthy for relationships. And I know you're supposed to play hard to get in the beginning, especially for women and everything, but mind games are not sustainable. That's why I don't agree with this. Yeah, but let me know what you think. Let's go to the next one.
Hello, Afroverse.
Hello.
And hello, listeners. The greatest lie I've ever heard about relationships was actually from my partner. Well, could have been partner, but it didn't work out. Because she believed that people have to fight to prove they are in love. I think that is some real BS. We don't have to fight. I mean, don't get me wrong. We will argue for sure because we are different people and we think differently. But fighting every day is just a no. Love is supposed to make you happy and peaceful, not dramatic and stressed out. Yeah, so she told me how she and her, you know, ex-partner would fight every day. And if they went a day with no fighting, they'd ask themselves if they were actually cool because that's what they were used to. But I was like, miss me with this. Nah, not for me. So.
What do you guys? I really wish this was a live session with a live audience because I want to know what you guys think because I agree with him. And it's crazy because I think for me, I've had an experience in the past where I used to get fidgety when something has not gone wrong. And it's not that something has to be wrong, but if there's no debate, if there's just no plot twist somewhere, that I used to get very confused and I used to get restless. So I see where the girl might be coming from, but I don't agree with it. It's not healthy. It's actually quite toxic. I think you can agree with me. It's very toxic and I think it's called trauma bonding, where I don't know if it's an intention, but you end up bonding with someone based on very negative events because you went through it together. And life already has enough negative events, so you don't want to bring any to yourself, especially internally. So if you know one day you might be struck by lightning, why will you now go and now start electrocuting yourself? Because now you have to worry about electrocution and then lightning. You get what I'm saying? Okay, just stay with me. I know it doesn't really make sense. It's not really the best analogy I could have used, but it was there and I used it. So now it's like you will already go through enough curveballs as a relationship and as a couple, you will go through so many things. But now it reaches a point where you have to ask yourself, to what extent am I willing to bring this up from within? And so such a person is very, it's like, I get why you're not with her. I get why you're not willing. I don't know. I know some of you guys actually feel her, and you feel like fights are necessary and they should be every day, they should be frequent. You know, you're more open to confrontation in that way. But I don't know. Me, I love watching telenovelas, but catch me dead in one. I don't want to be in a telenovela. Sorry, that's not me. And so I get where you're coming from. Wow. Anyway, okay. So that's one. Please let me know what you think as always. In terms of the thing for needing to fight specifically every day, I think that's where now I got the message that this is not necessarily a conducive environment. This is where you have absolutely no peace of mind. And this is where you have so many questions every day and you don't even have a safe space to discuss it because that person is already willing to make it into a big thing. Fights are necessary, but they shouldn't be conditional. Like the relationship shouldn't be conditional on having fights. You get me? Like it shouldn't be a prerequisite. English is very difficult. It's Saturday. I'm done with the week for English. But it shouldn't be a prerequisite. But what do you think? I know what I think already. Anyway, so let's go to the next one.
For me, first of all, the most troubling lie / myth about relationships is that just because you set him or her at the top of your priority in your list, in your heart, in your soul, doesn't mean that he's going to do the same for you or she's going to do the same for you. Yeah, don't lie to yourself, sis.
Hey. Clowning. Clown shit. She sent a gif of a clown and she sent the Joker doing, And she said that this is still something that she is struggling with till today, sadly. Well, I think reciprocity is a very, very complex thing because it takes a lot of trust. It also takes a lot of security and it takes a lot of awareness of how both of you show love. And so I think it actually ties to the whole idea of love languages, right? Because you might feel like someone is not showing you love, but they're actually just showing you love in a way that you're not conversant with, and that's just a way that works for them. But I do understand the fact that just because you're prioritizing someone doesn't mean they'll come here and then make you number one. It doesn't mean that. And so the bigger question, though, is what do you do in that moment? Do you walk away? Do you make your needs known? And then if they are not met, Or instinctively, should it be at a point where naturally and, you know, organically, you guys are at a point where you're more equal in how you show each other priorities or how you prioritize each other and how you show each other love, you know? So I don't know. I have no idea. You know, this thing is showing me, this episode today, I'm so glad it's a season finale because we are ending with this is very intense. I don't know about you, but I feel like we've been through so many types of relationship myths that should actually be episodes by themselves. It's still very, very interesting to hear what some people have had to say. So let me see what someone else had to say.
I think for me, I wouldn't say so much a myth as a socialization about relationships is that I have to want to be in one, you know? Mm. I think we're socialized like with rom-coms and all these ideas of marriage and partnership, so much so that the idea that you don't have to want to be in one is never really something you actually consider. And that's, I think now growing up, I'm realizing maybe like, I'm not saying I don't want to ever be partnered ever, but like, I don't think about it. I don't dwell on it. I don't aspire to it. I don't idealize it. I'm never thinking about a partner or a relationship. It's never something I'm dwelling on. It's not even something I want currently. And that won't change for a long time.
Wow.
And it, yeah, this is definitely it for me. I don't have to want to be in one now or.
Hey, let's listen to the next one that she sent.
I was just thinking, and also this myth or misconception that you are going to or have to meet your life partner by, I don't know, 25 or even 30.
Mm.
It just, I don't think it's realistic or like reflective of the current times because, you know, you can alternatively live your life, enjoy your life by yourself, enjoy yourself, enjoy your friends, enjoy your family. Like, why do you just have to scratch adulthood and it's like, bam, life partnership, permanent, whatever, you know? Like,
yeah.
Why can't you just have time for you and not have any pressure around that? You feel me?
Wow, 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 I do.
Lastly, I think that all relationships have to be one-dimensional or have a one-dimensional trajectory, you know, like meet, date, marry each other, kids, you know, whereas there's actually so many alternatives. Sometimes people don't want to get married at all, but want to, you know, just be life partners without like marriage, or people don't want kids, or some people have open relationships or polyamorous relationships and so on and so forth. I think that any human connection can be so multidimensional and fit to the needs of the people present rather than a kind of collective or societal projection of what a relationship should look like.
Y'all, she is woke. She's too woke. Like, that's way beyond the current level of development that human beings are at. That's like next step, you know. That's definitely the next level. Wow. So let's unpack what she said. So number one, it's the fact that relationships are not necessary, and that we've all been conditioned to think that everyone should have one. And so what about just doing your thing? And then if you have one, fine. And then if you don't have one, cheers. Let's first unpack that part, which was in the first voice note. Are relationships necessary? Well, I think it depends on who you are, what your needs are, and where you just place yourself in life and what you think you're ready for. Because whatever kind of relationship you want, I think it takes a certain level of accommodation. And if you're not willing to make it, and if you're not even able to, then that's fine. The problem is a lot of people know this about themselves, but they still choose to continue and have relationships. Or a lot of people haven't dug deep within themselves to know whether truly they want a relationship or even if they're ready for one. Because no matter how much you want a relationship, I think we both know that there's moments where, yeah, you want it, but you're not ready for it yet. No, you need to journal a bit more. You need to journal and you really need to write, you know. That's a very bad accent, but it's fine. Sometimes you need to reflect more. Sometimes you're in a phase in your life where you're just supposed to maybe just chill and just relax, buana, just relax. So I think this is very true. A lot of people do say that they are not even attracted to people. And then a lot of people say that they want to multi-date and they want to maybe have partners, but they don't want to get married. I think it's very, very complex. And I think it goes back to the beginning of when I say that it's just what works for you. Now, the problem is a lot of people don't know what works for them. And so, this is a very, 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 very interesting myth. But I think it can only be debunked custom to the type of person. And I also think it can only be debunked custom to the level of introspection that someone has. And so, wow, Miss Woke. Okay. Number two, she talked about age and how we feel like there are certain things that you kind of have to check off your list of things to do before a certain age. So you get married before a certain age. You get your children before a certain age. You do things before a certain age. I think it's a myth, 100%. But I also think that It's something that our generation is more aware of, thank God. But maybe older generations, this is the world they lived in, where genuinely, if you are not married by a certain time, you just go through struggles that are not normal. Like right now, like custom to what people used to want in the past, like there was no DoorDash, there was no Lyft, there was no Uber, there was no Instacart, there was no Uber Eats for people who, for the men who wanted, who could not cook or who did not want to cook. And for the women who now can make their own money, maybe they had to depend on men for that. And so for you to be able to live that lifestyle, you want to honestly eat home food by 25. So I think it just happens. That just takeout is nice, but and yeah, well, truly there is rice at home. So, wow, I do see how maybe there's like a historical explanation for that socialization. But yeah, 100%, it's a myth that I think is a myth. Another thing she spoke about was the fact that relationships are said to be one-dimensional, where you meet, get married, and then have your babies, and then so on and so forth. Well, for one, I think she's so woke, so much so that by this point, obviously, this is a myth, you know. And you can see how she's also ending up here, because that's the wavelength she's on, which I told you is a wavelength that humanity is not prepared for just yet, especially people from Africa and the diaspora. A lot of cultures back home, it's just not a thing. But I think it will be, to some extent, I think it will be accommodated with time when people don't have to worry about certain things. So yeah, relationships being one-dimensional, you know, even though it's so funny when something is a myth, but at the same time, it's 100% not happening. Like when people say that you should not eat right before your bedtime, but then that's when you are even eating to sleep, you know, you have your snack that will now usher in the sleep properly. Like 100%, this is not happening. It's a myth, but it's actually mostly not done, where people start their own way and then they end up their own way, where we also know people who follow that chain and then maybe at 40, 35, 40, they start a whole new life. And so it's very interesting to hear, because this is actually pressure that we feel. This is something that we feel from a day-to-day basis, especially if you're under the age of 35. These time posts and these check boxes, you really feel them vividly. But I think at the end of the day, it's introspection. What I'm hearing about this is introspection matters. For her, she brought up the thing of maybe not everyone is fit for a relationship or should have a relationship or should want one. And maybe that's how she feels. But I've realized for someone else, having a lifetime companion is one of their deepest desires. And it's actually where they draw fulfillment from. And maybe it's even how they become the best version of themselves. So I think it's what works for people. And also I think it's just knowing yourself, because you won't know what works for you until you find out. So yes, find out what works for you and then act accordingly, so long as you're not violating humanity at that.
Okay, this is in regard to the relationship myth thing. There's this thing that most people say, almost everyone thinks it, and probably you do too. And people say that you love people that you hurt, or rather, if you hurt someone, that doesn't mean that you don't love that person. I don't think that's true. I think people don't know what love is, what real love is, and to that effect, that's why people keep hurting people they love, because of they have a perverse, incomplete understanding of what love is. That's what I think. And that's what I know to be a fact.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, okay. It's fine. I'm fine. He started with saying that's probably what I think as well. And I think so as well. Not necessarily in terms of that we need to hurt people we love, but also the fact that sometimes people justify being entitled to forgiveness because they love you or because you love them. And so love is used as a currency for doing bad things. Like, it's used as a justification to get out of doing bad things. And so I get that. And I also get the fact that a lot of people hurt the people they love. And because they think it's okay to hurt the people they love, people, they end up, like, I get that now from there, the person being hurt can be okay staying because they've normalized getting hurt. I don't know, because a lot of people say that age is just an accumulation of anguish. And so maybe a longer relationship is in part like also an accumulation of relationship anguish. But I get that in the sense of just aging and wear and tear. But I definitely agree with him when he says that it should not be acceptable. It should not be acceptable in terms of hurting the people you love. I think it's about intention and the level of action, where I get that it's not good to hurt the people you love, but even if you end up doing it by mistake, the follow through after that matters as well, because a lot of people kind of settle into that level of action and then they kind of just be like, okay, this is, I guess, what we're doing. I guess this is how we talk to each other. I guess this is how we treat each other. And I don't know. I agree with him to say that I think that way. Yeah, I think I'm a human. I think that way as well. And I've had more thoughts like that, especially when I was younger, before I knew how quickly toxic things can get, like 100%. And not even in terms of relationships that are romantic. I think especially in terms of other types of relationships, like parental especially. Hey, how many times was I told I'm beating you because I love you? Wow. So, yeah, I think this is also boiling down to how do you show love and what's the maximum? What's the upper bound of how you should show love? Like, what's the boundary? It's about boundaries as well. There's this thing that said you can get addicted to a certain kind of sadness. It's a song, right? And I can't remember the song because this guy has completely just, we are now in the zone with him and you and me. We are just here with him. Yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting to see. What do you guys think about this? I think I feel called out also because I'm starting to think of moments where I've felt not okay hurting people, but I've felt worthy of forgiveness because I love them and I love them with everything. But then I've realized now my love for them wasn't as much as it could be. Because I had hurt them, it showed that there was a deficit, you know? Wow. Wow. Well, yeah, there's that. Let me see what people had to contribute towards this, because I know there were also a lot of people who sent in messages on Instagram who, they really shared their opinion. So the question was, what's the biggest myth that you have had about relationships? And so let me see what people had to say. One person say that they can be perfect as portrayed in movies. Oh my God, especially telenovelas. Because telenovelas have like the meet cute and they have the happily ever after. But telenovelas also kind of normalize toxic behavior. Like no boundaries, someone pretending to be dead for that person, but then they're actually alive. Then Romeo and Juliet is the OG telenovela. And I think we all know how quickly things just escalated. And yeah, I think people have made a whole movie out of romanticism. People have made a whole living out of just playing off the fact that human beings love to romanticize things. And we like to fantasize about just the outcome of things and the happily ever after. But I would say that a lot of things that have happened in my life that I do consider as highlights felt like movies. Like, I felt like I was in a movie. So it's very weird to find that balance between appreciating things for how magical they actually are versus being careful not to end up in a slippery slope of having unrealistic expectations and interpretations. Anyway, you guys, this next myth about relationships was that power lies on the one who cares the least. Wow. Wow. Okay, so basically, this one says that power lies on the avoidant partner. And so the anxious person in the relationship has the least power. Naturally, obviously, this makes sense because they have more. We need to define what power is in this respect, though, because if you care less and therefore it gives you power, it means you have less ability to get hurt. So I see in that respect how that's power. But in terms of dominance over the other, I don't know. And equating it to care, I don't know, because some people just express themselves differently. Some people are avoidant and some people are anxious. I don't know what you guys think, what you thought. What do you guys think? Someone says that a relationship here is that you don't need money, you just need love. Wow. The number of times I thought I could just, you know, pay bills in someone's love. Clown. I was a clown. No, I don't think you need money, but you need to survive. You get me, yeah? You don't need that Ferrari, but you need to eat. Anyway, someone here said that love is timeless and that that's a relationship myth. Is love timeless? I think companionship can be timeless, but love maybe not. And it depends on which type of love, because it can evolve with time. It can turn from romantic to just sexual, or it can turn into romantic and then all the way to familial love, like family, you know? Yeah, this one is interesting. Another person here said that the concept of happily ever after is a myth. It depends on when you're starting the chapter and ending it. If you're specifically referring to, let's say, your time in the first 5 years of your relationship, maybe you did have a happily ever after. Or is it the time you end up dying? Because a lot of people have their happily ever after long before they die. I don't know. You get what I mean? So, but yeah, this is what one person said, and I respect that. Maybe happily ever after doesn't exist. It's just ever after, you know. And so whether it's happy or not, it's ever after. Someone here said that the girl has to be prettier, light-skinned, and physically matured for the relationship to work. How many light-skins and physically mature? What does physically mature even mean? Like, is he talking about, like, physical shape? Is that a symbol of maturity? Ouch. Anyway, so we know so many light-skinned, pretty, physically mature people who have not had relationships that work. So yes, so this is a myth that someone said. I know it's not what they think, but I think it's a very far-reaching myth. If you've heard this, I'm sorry. No. Me, I know, you guys, we have to tell this person, Buana, no. Anyway, someone else, the same person also sent in a message about another myth they heard, that a guy has to be good. Like, he has to be a guy with a lot of money for the relationship to work. You guys, Jeff Bezos got divorced just but a few moments ago. And I think it's safe to say that he's the richest person in the world right now in 2021. And so his relationship, I can't say if it worked or not, only he knows. But I mean, relationships still fail for the richest of the richest. I see why you think this is a relationship myth. 100% it's a myth. Anyway, another person said, the relationship ladder, we must be on it and climbing at all times until marriage and then rest in laurels. I don't know what that means. I cannot understand English to this level. But I think they're trying to say that you basically go up, 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 then you get married and then everything goes down. If that's what they mean, maybe not. Maybe, yeah, maybe you kind of stay stable after that. And I think relationships have ups and downs and they oscillate. So nothing is constant. And some people are okay with going through that rough, the storms and the sunny times with someone. And so maybe it's a myth that it's a storm after you just get married. And if that's not what they mean, please let me know at the Afroverse show. Someone here said that attraction can come in later. And then they said, "Wah, no." Well, some people are in arranged marriages that seem to have the best life. Have you guys watched the wedding something? There's this Netflix show about someone who, I think it's called Matchmaker. Oh my God, I'm actually blanking on the name. There's this Netflix show about an Indian matchmaker, and she did talk about how some relationships have flourished after having an arranged setup. About that, I don't know. I think it depends on just foundation and chemistry and compatibility. And so if it's a coincidence, fine. But if you already know things are just not okay, you might need to unpack why you feel that way. And then if you can see it's not reconcilable, then yeah. Maybe it's not safe to say that you can make it work. And African moms love this one, that the attraction will come in later. Wow. Moms. Mommy. A relationship myth is that nice guys finish last. Well, do you think it's a myth that the good guys always win? This person says it's a myth, which means they've been a good guy and maybe they didn't win. But I would think that good guys win with the right situation that they're supposed to be in. Because no matter how good you are, if someone doesn't see your goodness, take your goodness elsewhere. It's better served in different communities. You get me? And so they don't always win in the wrong context. But in the correct context, they always win. Because if you're good, your intentions are good, you communicate well, and you're a decent human being, and especially in the sense of being compatible with that other person and being sweet to them and kind to them and understanding, my God, if you're not winning in that regard, then maybe you're just not meant to be together. Maybe you're just, she's not, or he is not attracted to you. Or maybe they don't have the lens to be able to see a good person like you. Maybe you're just the most fantabulous person. And if they can't see, let them go going. They can't step and tell them I'm the one who sent you. Anyway, so that's all we have for today. Those are all the relationship myths that you guys sent in. I think the biggest myth I've ever heard is around like gender roles and how different partners should be concerning their relationship and their dynamic. Because I think, especially growing up in a culture like mine, I grew up being told that the man should be the breadwinner. The woman should always be in the kitchen. You guys know the whole gist of that story. And I grew up in a situation where I tried to break out of that. And I actually had family members telling me, no, for real, you are supposed to be doing this for him, be doing that for him. And then eventually I did end up finding situations where it's definitely not necessary. And I think that helped me. And I've realized the only one who can tell you about your relationship is you and your partner. It's you and your partner. Only you two know what's a myth for you two and what's not. Because also, a myth in one relationship might actually be the truth in another. So it's depending on you and that person, you know. And so, yeah, I guess that's all I have today. And I'm very excited, very happy that I got to do this. I'm very glad that I'm on the Afroverse with you on here. I hope that I can be able to have season 27, you know. That would be a beautiful beautiful, beautiful thing to do. And yes, so this is the end of season one. We've spoken about relationship myths, and I hope that we can be able to unpack some of these scenarios in later episodes. So please be sure to subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and please be sure to follow the Afroverse on the Afroverse Show on Instagram. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc., etc., please be sure to leave a rating and to follow the Afroverse. I'm so happy that I've gotten to interact with all of you. And for those of you I'm yet to interact with, it's fine. You and I will eventually, we'll cross paths when the time is right. And I am forever grateful for this opportunity to be able to talk about things that I'm passionate about, and to talk about my culture with you, and to be able to talk about being a member of Africa and the diaspora. It's one of the most beautiful things in this world. And I think anyone who's not part of that, it's also interesting to see how there's so many similarities across so many cultures, and that at the end of the day, what matters is that we're human beings, and that we are people who feel, think, and we're people who are individuals at the end of the day. It's, you know, so I love the fact that I can also be able to connect from anyone from anywhere. And but here on the Afroverse, I'm so happy you're here with me, and thank you so much for listening. You've been with me, Hope Padgett, and until next time, bye-bye.